Sportscast, August 29th, 2019. If you haven't yet, please subscribe in all our channels, YouTube, Facebook, Periscope, and iTunes. And if you're in iTunes, please leave a rating and review. It'll help us out tremendously. And visit us on thesportscast.net for the latest. College football week one begins. Alabama launches their season opener this weekend against Duke University. But they're a little bit empty-handed. A few players are gone. Some are injured. Some are suspended just for a halftime. For a half. And to join us to talk to us a little bit about Alabama and their destiny to become the dynasty of the century, Justin Riley, welcome back to the Sportscast.
Man, glad to be back. Finally talking about stuff that I know and understand, and that's football, especially Alabama football. Tell you what, man, you know, this game that really wasn't drawing a whole lot of publicity or possibly viewers all of a sudden has become one of the games to keep your eye on.
The biggest news was Dylan Moses, linebacker, All-American, is out for the season with a torn ACL. How much of an impact will that be for Alabama itself?
Man, it is a very, very big deal. This is a tough blow. I mean, this guy was a Butkus Award finalist this past season, general leader of that defense. He's basically the quarterback of the defense, the undisputed leader who really holds everything together. He's already a preseason All-American. He's a projected first-round NFL draft pick. He's a captain of the defense, and that's something that's really hard to replace. So this is sending Alabama back to the drawing board. We've already lost, like you mentioned earlier, another player on the defense, and that's Josh McMillan for the season due to injury. Now probably the most important player of all in that defense is gone for the season with an ACL tear. It's really tough for us. Now we're looking at starting two freshmen at the linebacker position. That's quite a task to place on 18, 19-year-old young men. So this is a big deal. It changes the face of our defense entirely.
The game will be in Atlanta, and as well with Moses, there's been four of its top players will not see action for at least a portion of the game. Junior running backs Najee Harris and Brian Robinson will be serving suspensions for the first half against the Blue Devils after missing a team function. The report also notes that linebacker Terrell Lewis will serve a punishment for the same reason. Furthermore, wide receiver Devontae Smith will also be suspended, though it does not state a length of time. Tell us about the significance of this. What happened, and how would this impact the game?
Well, essentially what happened, we had these players that missed a team meeting. Saban will not go into any further detail than that. He basically believes that it's none of our business. He said this is a family thing. It's going to be handled internally. So he wasn't really forthcoming with any more information other than that. But the fact is that it was a missed team meeting, and Saban is not going to put up with anything regardless of who it is. And this is really surprising because these are four guys who are considered upperclassmen. They're all juniors, and you expect better decision-making from the upperclassmen. So they're going to be gone the first half. Yeah, Devontae Smith will be gone in the first half. I don't expect any drop-off as far as receiver production with him being out. Terrell Lewis, him being gone is going to be kind of a difficult thing for us. Yeah, it's against Duke. I understand that. But, you know, we already got Josh McMillan out. We already have Dylan Moses out. We got to have him out there. We need to have him as the leader of that defense from snap one, taking over and getting things moved in the right direction. But, I mean, he'll be back in the second half. Thankfully, this is Duke and not an LSU and Auburn, so on and so forth. Now, I think the concern really is with Najee Harris and Brian Robinson Jr. being out. Those are the first and second string running backs, and now we're going to have two freshmen playing. And yes, I get that we've had probably one of the better offensive lines in the SEC, and we still have Tua Tagovailoa, and our other wide receivers doing their thing. But having two freshmen in kind of changes the dynamic. And you've got people who don't have as much experience running the show. Granted, they're very talented, and some of those guys really showed some promise in the spring. But this is their first real live game experience. So you kind of hope that they don't make any kind of young mistakes that's going to get others hurt or kind of mess up things. Especially in pass protection, my biggest concern is making sure these guys hold their blocks and follow their assignments the way they need to so the offense will execute. Because we definitely don't need Tua Tagovailoa getting hurt, because that was one of the biggest things this past season was his ability to stay healthy. So we definitely need him in there staying healthy and not being susceptible to any kind of major injury.
What are your expectations for Duke University, the Blue Devils? I know they produced Daniel Jones, and he got drafted pretty early with the Giants. What type of team is this? Is this a threat? Is this a back to the old school Duke where they don't do well in football, or are they a contender somewhere in the ACC?
Well, first of all, I think the days of the old Duke are gone, and that's because of what Cutcliffe has been able to do. Cutcliffe is probably one of the better offensive minds in the country and has been for a long time. He's probably one of the best coaches out there as far as developing players, as seen by what he's been able to do at Duke year in and year out. He got them to an ACC championship. He's had them competitive year after year, and they've made bowl games each year he's been there. I believe every year he's been there. I could be wrong. Somebody will have to correct me on that later. But he has produced some very talented teams, and they have been competitive, and they're not the Duke that all of us play against in homecoming. So don't feel like that they're going to regress back to the same old, same old. I think that Duke is going to pose as a challenge. They are still a good team. Yes, they are going to be relatively young, especially at the quarterback position. As you mentioned, Daniel Jones has gone to the NFL a lot earlier than what people thought he would, but we're not here to talk about that. But they will be starring a new quarterback, Quentin Harris, who did have some experience this past season when Jones was down. It's not like he's just going to be coming into a brand new situation, but he really is the man now. So you kind of got to wonder where his nerves and his confidence are going to be. At the wide receiver position, they are really, really green, inexperienced. To make matters worse, one of their receivers, Jake Bobo, fractured his right clavicle during a practice here in the preseason, and he's out indefinitely. So he's going to have a hard time trying to find some go-to receivers to take pressure off of him. And then senior Deion Jackson, who's a really good running back. Both him and Britton Brown are solid runners. So they'll be able to take a little bit of the pressure off of the quarterback, but they can't just run the ball all day long. As you can't be one-dimensional against Alabama or SEC defense, to say the least. So they're going to have to generate some kind of offense, look for David Cutcliffe to put some kind of good game plan offensively together, and definitely attack the weak points right now that Alabama has, especially with the players who are going to be out in the first half, and then having some major guys out for the entire season. Now, their strength is on their defense. They boast one of the better secondaries in the ACC. Cornerback Mark Gilbert and safety Dylan Singleton are very, very, very good, and they tend to make life a living nightmare for opposing offenses. They have some decent linebackers, and Kobe Kwanzaa and Junior Braden Hill. But up front, they're kind of new. And this past season, they gave up 408 yards per game, but only were able to record 24 sacks. They only allow 199 yards passing per game. That's what they did this past season. So, like I said, with this secondary, they tend to make things a little difficult, which is a little bit different now. They're going up against Tua Tagovailoa and a host of first-round potential draft pick wide receivers. So Duke's going to be a good team, and I look for them to make things a little difficult for Alabama in the first half, but in the second half, especially when those four key players return, I look for Alabama to begin to pull away.
What key points do you want to see in Alabama's first game? Obviously, Duke is not a walkover, of course. They're, I guess, a mediocre team. But what points do you really want to see Alabama improve from last year?
Well, first and foremost, I want to see the negatives that Tua Tagovailoa had last year disappear. I want to see him hold the ball less because he had a tendency to hold the ball longer than he should have. Another thing that I really want to see disappear from his arsenal, and that's trying to force things that aren't there. You know, live to play another day, make better decisions, you know, make your check downs. But definitely want to see some progression from him. Not saying he was terrible by any means, but just the young in him. You know, I want to see that start to fade, and I want to see him become that elite quarterback
the
that
maturity
we all know
kick
he's
in.
Capable of.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Is this a doer's die? I mean, do you think this season he really needs to solidify that favorite number one pick in the NFL draft? Do you think this is the year to do it?
Well, I don't know if it's really solidify. It's, continue to work on some things, continue to show maturity, continue to show growth. Definitely show the scouts you have very better durability because, like I mentioned earlier, you know, he had health concerns for the later part of this past season, and we definitely need to see that is going to be gone as well. But I think he has the opportunity to improve his draft stock as still being a top five player, whether it's number one or number two or whatever. This is just his opportunity just to kind of solidify things. I really hope that this will be his Heisman season, but I know that's not really his top goal. His top goal is to get to another national championship and definitely have another shot at playing Clemson.
Something that we definitely got to take a look at.
As far as other positions, don't mean to interrupt. I want to see that Najee Harris is finally going to be the back that we all thought he was going to be coming out of high school, and then from what we saw glimpses of here and there, we want to see him take over. I want to see if Brian Robinson is going to be that great second option, like a Josh Jacobs type. Of course, you probably won't see all this in the first game, but I really want to see how quick on that defense these young players are going to mature and how quickly they will be cohesive with the other players and just get things moving in a positive direction. I definitely want to see the veterans who are there, like Raekwon Davis, Anthony Jennings, Terrell Lewis, Xavier McKinney, step up, especially to carry the weight of the missing players. I want to see their leadership increase, and I want to see them be able to carry this ailing defense on their shoulders.
Something. But overall, what would you take on this game, Alabama versus Duke? What is everyone saying about this game? Is this something that people are worried about? They're just going to look at it? Like, is it a mediocre game? What degree of difficulty is his game?
Well, the difficulty level, if you just look at it from a paper standpoint, is really not all that together high. I think that this game is drawing a lot of attention mainly because of the loss of Dylan Moses and then also some other players and then the suspensions of those four players you mentioned for the first half. It's going to draw an audience to kind of see how Alabama responds, how Alabama's going to react, and what kind of product we'll be able to see from Nick Saban and his crew this season. Because, like I said, the whole dynamic on defense has changed. So we need to kind of see what direction they're going to go. And then this game's going to give us a good opportunity to truly get kind of a starting point. So I think that's going to draw a lot of viewers.
Moses' replacement, he's called the Hulk. His name is Taj Lepoy, and I think they call him Lee as well. What have you heard about him?
You talking about the defensive coordinator, Taj Lepoy?
No, sorry, Shane Lee. Sorry, Shane Lee.
Shane Lee,
linebacker.
Okay. Got the names. Yeah, Shane Lee.
What are your expectations?
Yeah, man. The Hulk is right. Man, that's a big dude. Very physical, very powerful. He had a really good spring game. If you missed the 8-8 game, he was actually the star of the game. One of the stars of the game. He snagged the interception, actually returned one for a touchdown. Both him and Jalen Moody really showed a whole lot. Whether that will translate down the road of being Andilla Moses type, you know, that remains to be seen. But you know, Dylan Moses got kind of thrust into things kind of the same way that Shane Lee is. Alabama back in 2017 had the same predicament where they lost four players in that first game, and then a lot of young folks, including some walk-ons, had to step in right away, and they adapted very well. Whether or not Christian Harris and Jalen Moody and Shane Lee are able to do that, we don't know. But I do feel like Shane Lee and Jalen Moody had the best chance out of any, just because of what I've seen from them this past spring.
Should be exciting. Alabama versus Duke. And a good opener, not the best, not a tough like the past couple years. But it's at 3:30 p.m. This Saturday, and you can watch it on ABC. It's a national game, so it should be very exciting to see the debut of Alabama and their quest to get another championship in Tua. Of course, this is the year that Tua and also Herbert and also Jake Fromm is in the conversation of to have a great draft quarterback for the NFL next year. So let's move forward. Florida versus Miami, a little sloppy game. It was back and forth. Florida won 24-20. What were your thoughts about that game?
I felt like I was watching a live blooper reel, man.
Yeah, it was. It was pretty messy.
Oh, God, man. I never in my life have ever seen something so sloppy. It's like neither team wanted to win. It's like they were trying their best to avoid it. And I was just kind of shocked, especially – at Florida, because yeah, they have more veteran players than Miami did, and I kind of expected a little bit better from them. I was really, really hoping that Felipe Franks was going to take a step forward, and it looks like he went back to his usual. I mean, the last four games of last season, he did show a lot of improvement, but after watching this game, it's like he returned back to his original ways. Of course, you know, that also included him running his mouth and showing his tail only to goof up the very next play. It's funny. He scores a go-ahead touchdown himself and gets in the camera's face and starts bragging and running his mouth. And the very next offensive series, he lofts a ball to an area that had nothing but white shirts. He's picked off and nearly returned for a touchdown. So... It's just the same old Felipe to me, but it just really surprised me with a Dan Mullen coach team, the lack of discipline from their players, a lot of missed tackles, the pass interference committed was just ridiculous. I do, some of those were warranted because they prevented touchdowns, but there were just too many. I mean, 4th and 34, you commit a pass interference penalty that puts Miami back in business to potentially win the game. Man, you got to use your head better than that. But I will say I was impressed with Jaren Williams. Aside from being sacked, I believe it was 10 times when it was all said and done, he played very well. He didn't have a whole lot of help, but when he was actually able to have time and make decisions, He looked pretty good, so there's promise from the rookie quarterback. But for me, Florida's going to have to work on a lot and show a lot of improvement, especially if they want to make a name for themselves in the East. I know it was just the first game, but there were just way too many negatives for me.
Jaren Williams, you think he is the right quarterback over Tate Martell?
I think for now, yes, but I really do need to see a complete picture. I need to see a few more games from him to really make that decision. But for now, I feel like Jaren Williams is the guy, and he really showed me a lot as far as maturity-wise, considering the amount of pressure that he had to deal with. So I'm going to go with him for now, but, you know, ask me the same question 5 games down the road, and we'll see where we're at.
Florida Gators obviously had a sloppy game. Where do you see them in the picture down the road? Do you think they'll slip a little bit lower in the standings? I mean, do you think they have much contention in the SEC East? Like, what are your thoughts as of right now?
Do they slip down? I think they do a little bit, especially if some of these teams that are below them play at a much higher level and show a whole lot more. I think they're just way too sloppy to really be worthy of such a high ranking at this point. But they do have a chance to redeem themselves, so we're going to see if they're able to. But they have a lot to correct. Like I said, they're going to have to become a lot more disciplined than what they are right now. You know, they are very impressive on that defensive line, and their secondary is really good. But, you know, as far as the linebackers go and some of the other players, they missed way too many tackles and were kind of found out of position at times. So they're going to have to correct that. But like I say, it's just the first game, so we kind of have to see where they go. But, you know, Georgia is still the king in the East, and right now I think the two teams met on the same field. Georgia wins that game pretty easily.
Yeah, single-handedly, I really do think we'll see what happens in the next couple of games for Florida, and we'll see how Georgia does in their opener as well. No one's out of the picture yet. You got to make sure like these games are played; they're meant to be played, and of course, we'll see what happens. What was your thoughts? Obviously, like that same night, Andrew Luck suddenly retired. What were your first thoughts?
My first thoughts were, wow, did I read that right? It just kind of took me back for a minute. And then, but as I kind of sat there and had time to really assess the situation, I felt like it's the best decision possible for him. I mean, if you look at the whole grand scheme of things, he's been hurt a lot more than he's been healthy. I mean, he's taken an absolute beating for the majority of his career, and it just seems to not be letting up. Just doesn't seem like he's able to just stay healthy and just shake that. And I just feel like it's a really good decision for him, which is completely a different direction than what some of these fans are taking. But if he's able to leave the game right now while his body is still intact, and he's still able to walk away on his own, I think that he needs to do that. Now, I mean, he is somewhat leaving the door open to a return, and you know, we'll see about that. No need to speculate, but for now, I mean, this is the best decision for him. He needs to heal. He needs to stay healthy. Wants to spend time with his family. Just a great decision on his part. And, you know, I hate it for the Colts organization, who are at this point just, you know, scrambling around and trying to figure out what in the world they're going to do. But, you know, at the end of the day, the Colts organization, they understand, they respect his decision. So, I mean, they'll move on. What that looks like, I don't know. We'll see how well Jacoby Brissett plays this year, because he no doubt will be the starter. He will definitely need a lot of help from some receivers this year. But, you know, the original thought is good for him.
And do you think Jacoby Brissett will live up to that starting position, or do you think they may tank for a quarterback like Tua or Herbert next year?
I think if it's any organization's goal to tank for a certain player is absolutely absurd, even though a lot of these fans and even some analysts are just absolutely being persistent about it. I think that they believe in Jacoby Brissett, but Jacoby Brissett has a long road ahead of him because he doesn't quite have all the pieces there to really help. They really need a big name receiver. He really needs some help out wide. But I feel like the Colts believe in him, and It's just going to be a tough season just to kind of figure out what a Jacoby Brissett team is going to look like. Now, as far as tanking goes, that just needs to be pushed aside and squashed because right now, Justin Herbert's and some of the other candidates are college players. They haven't proven themselves in the NFL. So you can't sit there and say, you know, hold them to the same standard. They can't live up to the NFL standard because they have not played an NFL snap. So you can't put yourself in or your organization in a position to just blow it with the hopes that an amateur is going to lead them to a promised land.
And there you have it. Let's see what happens in football this weekend. Anything else before we head into predictions?
Man, I'm just excited about this whole thing. I'm a little taken back and bummed out as far as what's happened to my Crimson Tide. But if anybody can right the ship, if anybody can correct things and get things in the right direction, it's Nick Saban. Yeah, I mean, he's the best in the game for a reason, and he's proven he can do it. Like I said, man, back in 2017, we faced the same situation, but he still was able to guide Alabama to a national championship. Last year, you know, we lost Terrell Lewis, and we lost another linebacker for the year as well. And he still was able to overcome that. So, I mean, I had no doubt that he's going to be able to get Alabama, you know, back to the playoffs, or at least contention for the playoffs. Are we going to have some growing pains? Absolutely. You can't have two freshman players on defense starting without having a few mishaps here and there, a few missed assignments, some miscommunication going on that comes with just young folks. But Alabama overall is going to have to improve on their communication, because if you look at the later part of last season, that communication really wasn't there, and it was very obvious as they played tougher teams down the road. So hopefully that will have changed, but it's going to be kind of tough in the early going because – all those young guys. Fortunately for Alabama, you know, the top half of their schedule is in their favor, especially for developing these guys. You know, they're going to be facing some relatively on paper easy opponents until that matchup against Texas A&M at Kyle Field. So they have a little bit of time. So I like that aspect of it. But we're really going to see what Alabama's capable of when they have that road test.
And we'll see what happens with the new coaching staff to have. Sarkisian returns on the debut. Predictions, Georgia at Vanderbilt.
Georgia's going to win this game, but Vanderbilt is going to make it tough for them because they are Vanderbilt, and they tend to be pesky at times. They do have a good quarterback. They have one of the better running backs in the SEC. And they also have a very, very talented wide receiver. So, which it should be kind of relatively boring in the first half. But Georgia's going to pull away by a wide margin in the second half. So, Bulldogs.
Clemson versus Georgia Tech.
Clemson is going to win that game quite handily.
Trevor Lawrence returns in his sophomore season. Oklahoma versus Houston.
Going to be an interesting game. Houston is no pushover. Derek King is a really good quarterback. He has a lot of draft analysts watching him and thinking highly of him. I think it's going to probably be a little bit closer game than what the experts may think, mainly because Oklahoma still does not know how to play defense, and it's like they refuse to play defense. So hopefully an aspect of their game that they will correct. But this is Jalen Hurts' coming out party, and I feel like he will not disappoint. I think Jalen's going to have a big game. Oklahoma wins.
Northwestern versus Stanford.
It's the ACT Bowl. I think the combined IQ levels of both universities is going to be a little bit too much for us to handle. No, this is going to be a really good game. I think it's going to be a very close game, but I like Northwestern to pull it out more towards the end.
Oregon versus Auburn.
This is definitely the game of the week. It's show and tell time for Auburn. They are starting a freshman quarterback the first time since, I think, the 40s in their school history. So it's going to be really interesting to see how he's able to go against a team like Oregon. Auburn has the best defensive line in the country, and they have a really good secondary as well. And we're going to see just how well Justin Herbert is going to be able to play against this formidable defense. I think this game really comes down to which quarterback is going to make the fewest mistakes. And I think that that's going to be Justin Herbert. So I, even though I'm an SEC guy and I pull for the SEC, especially out of conference, I just think the experience at quarterback for Oregon with Justin Herbert is going to allow the Ducks to win.
Quite interesting. How do you see Auburn for this season?
A mystery. I think on defense they're solid. Like I said, they have one of the best defensive lines, if not the best defensive line in the country. They have a really good secondary, some decent linebackers. There's no question there. The big question mark is on offense, just, you know, how quick will their quarterback develop? I mean, he's a freshman, and he's a freshman that's going to be playing in arguably the toughest conference in the country. So how well will he be able to move forward? How it goes is how Auburn will go. They have some really good watch. Don't know much about the running backs, and usually Auburn has a pretty good backfield. So we just kind of had to see how they develop. But biggest thing is quarterback. You know, what's he going to do? If he's able to play to the elite status that many think that he's capable of, especially being a five-star coming out of high school, then they should do all right. But it's a toss-up right now. And I really don't like Gus Malzahn's developmental abilities. So I'm kind of questioning that. But, you know, it's wait and see with them.
Wait and see. We'll see what happens towards the Iron Bowl, which they will be hosting this year. It could be a critical game or come down to that game for Alabama or Auburn. Yeah. Duke versus Alabama in Atlanta.
The Chick-fil-A kickoff classic. Like I said, man, before this week, there really wasn't a whole lot of
commotion.
Yeah, not a whole lot of sexiness to this game, because it's a loaded Alabama team that's on their usual quest to the playoff, to the national championship. And so you just kind of looked at it as a tune-up game. But now, not so fast, my friend. Several players are out of commission. Dylan Moses, Josh McMillan, running back Trey Sanders. We've got four guys suspended for the first half. And suddenly, all of a sudden, this becomes a game of intrigue. At least for the first half. I think that although Alabama is going to have a little bit of a difficulty with these missing players, they still have the best talent on the field, and definitely one of the better talent, most talented teams in the country. So I think Duke will give them fits in the first half just because Cutcliffe is a great coach, and he's going to have them ready. I think he will be able to take advantage of some of the negatives Alabama has coming in. But second half will be completely different. I believe that Alabama will pull away. And I think that Tua Tagovailoa will probably have 300 yards passing and four touchdowns. Jalen Waddle is my player of the game. And I think Alabama wins and pulls away in the second half.
And give us a scoreline for that game.
I think Alabama will win 38-17.
Oregon and Auburn, also a scoreline for that.
Scoreline for that. Like I said, I feel like Oregon's going to win this game. I think it's going to be a very, very close game. I don't think it's going to be a high-scoring game. You know, I listened to your podcast earlier this week with Ty, and I kind of want to go along the same lines. It's going to be a low-scoring game. I don't believe it gets out of the 20s. I believe Oregon wins a close one, 23-20.
23-20. Got that down. And random question, what is your favorite type of dog?
Chocolate Lab. They are the most fun dogs. They're insanely loyal. They seem to always be happy and have the incredible ability to make their owner happy, man. Always have loved Chocolate Labs.
There you have it. And will you be live tweeting? Obviously, Oregon, Auburn, there'll be live tweeting, but will you be live tweeting the Duke versus Alabama? And on which account?
I definitely will be live tweeting during the Alabama and Duke game. I believe I'll be on the Sportscast Twitter handle because there are no conflicts at that point with other games. So
and now that there's so much commotion for that game, why not?
Absolutely. So yeah, please join us on Saturday, 3:30 p.m. Eastern, 2:30 Central. And feel free to comment along with me, share your thoughts, and maybe even argue with me.
There you have it. Maybe some Duke fans will come in and barge our Twitter account. And, of course, follow us on thesportscast.net and on Twitter at thesportscast1. We'll have live coverage this weekend. We'll have Alabama Duke, and we'll have Oregon versus Auburn live from Dallas Cowboy Stadium. That'll be the national game. Actually, both are national games, to be honest. But we'll see what will happen. A lot of lives are on the line, I like to say, but not really. If you lose one game, hopefully you'll get through. SEC has that caveat where if you lose one game, I think you're okay. The other conferences, not so much.
Right.
Right?
Which kind of leads me – yeah, but, I mean, just because of the reputation the SEC has built for itself as the toughest conference in the country, yeah, if they do drop a game, they have the ability to get right back into the picture, whereas some of these other conferences, you just don't have that luxury. And a lot, some people are feeling like if Oregon is to make it to the college football playoff, which some people actually are predicting, they need to win this game to really establish some legitimacy. Some people feel like winning the Pac-12 just isn't enough, just because they're not as strong as they typically are and have been for a while. So this is a big game for Oregon in the eyes of many.
Yeah, and of course, if I was Alabama, I will obviously win every game, but that Auburn game, obviously you want to win it, but if you need to mess up or something happens, that game you're able to wiggle it out a little bit, but that's up to debate. Of course, against,
yeah,
and they got Ole Miss as well.
Before Alabama, these disappointing negatives right now are made even bigger because there are some key games to circle. Like I said, that Texas A&M game at Kyle Field, against Auburn as well as against LSU. That's always a big game when determining what the picture of SEC West is going to look like. So, those are three big games, especially now with having to rebuild, I guess you would say, on that defense.
Quite interesting. Their schedule is a little bit controversial. Some people say it's easy. Some say it's difficult. According to Justin, it's always difficult, every schedule. But anyways, thesportscast.net.com and at thesportscast1. Also on Instagram, at thesportscast1. We got some great content up there, and we'll definitely be delivering. And, of course, we'll be following along this weekend. There is college football games on a Sunday this week and also on a Monday night, Notre Dame-Louisville. But who's going to watch that? Only the Notre Dame fans, the Irish, and whoever has NBC. Anyways, Justin Riley, I appreciate you coming on to the Sportscast.
Man, glad to do it as always. Looking forward to talking with you next week.